on Fillmore Street. This is PhilPod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from San Francisco, California's GUI Center, the Lower Haight. Today is Thursday, the 12th of March, 2015. On this date in 1894, Coca-Cola is bottled and sold for the first time in Vicksburg, Mississippi. 1912, the Girl Scouts, way cooler than the Boy Scouts, are founded in the United States. 1918, Moscow becomes the capital of Russia again after St. Petersburg held this status for 215 years. 1922, Armenia, Georgia, and Azerbaijan form the Transcaucasian Socialist Federative Soviet Republic. 1933, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR, gives the first fireside chat, the first words of which were, and I quote, "I want to talk for a few minutes with the people of the United States about banking," end quote. 1938, Hitler announces the Anschluss, or union, with Austria. 1940, Finland signs the Moscow Treaty with the Soviet Union, ceding almost all of Finnish Karelia. Finnish troops and remaining population are immediately evacuated. 1947, to a joint session of Congress, Truman asks to actively prevent Greece and Turkey from falling to the Soviets. Thus begins the Truman Doctrine and the Cold War. 1967, Suharto takes over from Sukarno to become acting president of Indonesia. 1994, the Church of England ordains its first female priest. 2003, the Dixie Chicks backlash begins after they make some comments at a concert in the UK about being from Texas and the fact that George Bush is also from there. Rednecks get their knickers on a twist. And on that same day in 2003, reformer Zoran Djindjic, Prime Minister of Serbia, is assassinated in Belgrade. 2009, financier Bernie Madoff pleads guilty in New York to scamming $18 billion, the largest in Wall Street history. 2011, a reactor at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant melts and explodes, releases radioactivity into the atmosphere and ocean a day after a giant 9.0 earthquake. Birthdays today are writers Jack Kerouac, Edward Albee, Republican Marshmallow Mitt Romney, singer James Taylor, and sculptor Anish Kapoor. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, podcast is compiled and written by Arya Swieka. My Georgian Journal and Kvitis Politra this week is about the new volunteers, a term I made up for the new collection of young people in Georgia that seem to be congealing as an identifiable group. They deal with things a little bit differently than the older generations. It's worth reading. Take a look. Thanks again for those posting on a forum, particularly about Georgian driving and parking. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tapilpod.com or send us an email at tapilpod@gmail.com. The Embassy of Iran in Tbilisi released a written statement on the 9th of March criticizing Justice Minister Tetsu Lukiani for her unprofessional and unthoughtful remarks. Tetsu Lukiani spoke on Emedi TV on the 18th of February defending Georgia's tighter visa regulations, citing the need to put them in line with Georgia's visa liberalization action plan with the EU. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. She said not everyone is happy with large-scale reform. For example, the Agency of Tourism is not happy. When this immigration reform became effective on the 1st of September, this caused a decrease of 42,000 people in the flows of tourists in our country during the last 4 months of 2014. The Chinese, Iraqis, Iranians, and Egyptians. We narrowed this down and we achieved success in Brussels, and we expect some kind of success at the Riga summit. Then we can exercise control within the established framework and allow those who wish well for our country, tourists, or what is most important, investors, end quote. The statement from the Iranian embassy reminded Tsaloukiani that, quote, since the restoration of Georgia's independence in 1992, Iran has always stood by Georgia, end quote. Quote, restrictions imposed on Iranian investors and tourists can be regarded as a loss of knowledge, capital, and valuable service of Iranian friends, but at the same time, it will not affect relations between them, regardless of the racist and xenophobic views held by some. Tsaloukiani's remarks were also criticized by a group of human rights and advocacy groups, including TI Georgia Young Lawyers, Article 42 of the Constitution, and Georgia Reform Associates. In a joint statement, they said that her comments were xenophobic, and that she equates these people mentioned, i.e. Chinese, Iraqis, Iranians, and Egyptians, with people who wish Georgia harm and should not be allowed to enter the country, and that she propagates a false idea that such discriminatory approaches is a precondition of Georgia's success in the course of integration with the EU. As a reminder, Georgia unilaterally revoked visa-free rules for Iranian citizens in July 2013. The move was criticized by senior Iranian lawmakers, and the issue was also raised by Iranian authorities when Parliamentary Speaker Dato Uzebashvili visited Tehran late in January 2015. The Minister of Justice responded that such an assessment from the embassy of Iran was regrettable. Tsaloukiani met with the Iranian ambassador in Tbilisi, Abbas Talabiefar, on the 10th of March, a day after the Iranian embassy released its statement. She said in a video message after the embassy statement was not the main topic. Sorry, she said in a video statement after the embassy statement that it was not the main topic of discussion. So a few words on this. Iran is a very big, very powerful, very nearby country to Georgia with a very, very long set of historical ties. It is a wildly important relationship for Georgia. Let's be honest, as much as foreigners appreciated the national movement's policy of openness, it was not so organized in terms of knowing who's coming and going and all of that stuff. But hundreds of Iranians, even thousands of the very smartest, most secular Iranians started to show up, study Georgian, invest, put their kids in Georgian schools, buy apartments, and things like that. Then, out of nowhere, the system was overhauled, and they were kicked out. Same for Iraqis, Egyptians, Syrians, Chinese, Africans, and many others. And the new setup is arbitrary, wildly disorganized, and most importantly, it was in no way demanded by the EU. Now, what Tsaloukiani said was, oh, we had this major reform, terrible that there had to be some little problems for these, you know, countries of people that may not be well-wishers for Georgia, but, you know, that's what we needed to do in order to get visa facilitation. That really is not true. Neither the U.S. nor the EU, neither the EU nor the U.S. demanded that these people be left out for visa facilitation or any other reason. The previous system could have been kept with a few relatively small improvements to know who is coming and going, and the EU and U.S. would have been very happy. I'm not so sure that Georgia will get visa-free travel at the summit in Riga this summer because the government still has plenty of work to do on it. So, in my view, this process of kicking people from the non-Atlantic countries out was done for nationalistic reasons, pretending that the EU said so. And the EU is, of course, being silent about it because they feel it's sort of like a negotiation and they can't really say what has been said and it's all up to the government and, you know, that's the way the EU is. But privately, EU big shots as well as DC big shots have told me that this was neither demanded nor requested. I mean, a lot of it started when there was this Wall Street Journal thing about money laundering, and there was money laundering, but it was a tiny group of people that was doing it. It would have been very easy for the government to crack down on that through the National Bank, and, or they could have done a thing that they have for some European citizens that you have to say your name before you show up. You have to just email it in or something like that. It's still visa-free, but, you know, they will tell you whether or not there's going to be an issue at the border. And they could have easily caught those people. So what happened was all of the exact right people who were wishing well to Georgia and investing and buying stuff and whatever else who showed up, they got kicked out totally arbitrarily, and it messed up their lives. And all the money launderers stuck around and are still floating around. And there's not really that many of them. On the 5th of March, Russia began large-scale military drills in southern Russia, South Ossetia, Abkhazia, and Crimea. The Russian military sent more than 2,000 servicemen are taking part, 500 pieces of heavy weaponry being used. The drills are for air defense units whose job is to repel attacks by aircraft and missiles. According to Russian media reports, the drills will go until the 10th of April. On the 6th of March, Russia's President Vladimir Putin signed an order giving the go-ahead to a draft treaty on alliance and integration with South Ossetia. The day of the signing has yet to be set. The agreement has a term of 25 years. The final text of the South Ossetian treaty is similar to the one that was signed between Moscow and Sukhumi in November 2014, but contains clauses which envision even deeper integration with Russia. According to the treaty, units of armed forces and security agencies of South Ossetia will become part of the armed forces and security agencies of the Russian Federation. Since they already are anyway. There will be integration of the customs service of the breakaway region with one of the Russian Federation. Russia also takes the commitment to co-finance the gradual increase of salaries of employees of state-funded entities, to increase pensions for residents who hold Russian passports, and also to ease the granting of Russian citizenship. Okay, so what's happening here is South Ossetia is being annexed, means that stuff can come and go. The population is being paid in order to take Russian passports, which will assist Russia in if there's ever any conflict, to just say that, look, there are Russian citizens living there. Keep in mind that South Ossetia is in no way a democracy. They've had appalling elections there. I mean, there's not that many people that are there now, especially now that all of the Georgians have been ethnically cleansed out of there. And any Ossetian opposition have been kicked into North Ossetia or somewhere else and are not allowed back into South Ossetia. Economy Minister Gyorgy Kvitikashvili is on a working visit to China this week. On the 9th of March, he met with the general manager of China's Silk Road Fund. As a reminder, Silk Road Fund was announced by Chinese President Xi in November 2014 and launched operations last month. Its aim is providing transport infrastructure in Central Asia and to revive the old Silk Road trading route. Kvitikashvili also met with China's Commerce Minister in Beijing. They signed an agreement to launch a feasibility study and set up working groups to explore the economic benefits for a bilateral free trade agreement between the two countries. Also, as a reminder, two Chinese companies are among the seven firms and consortia shortlisted by the Georgian authorities for the Anaklia Deep Sea Port Project. And Prime Minister Khadabashvili met with major Chinese and Israeli companies in Tbilisi that he said plan to invest more than $1 billion in Georgia in the agriculture, energy, and IT sectors. He discussed with Pegasus, East West, Hong Kong-based company, about the privatization of the thermo power plant in Gardabani. Others at the meeting were Israel-based businessman Mikhail Mirilashvili, the president of CEFC China, people from China's state-owned hydropower engineering company, Sino Hydro, and people from Israel's LR Group. Last week, Prime Minister Khadabashvili warned city mayors and Gam Geblebi heads in the provinces that they are not untouchable and that he would raise the issue of fulfilling responsibilities if they delay implementing local infrastructure projects. Finance Minister Nodar Khaduri said earlier in a government session that although funds have been transferred to local authorities in the process in the provinces for planned infrastructure projects, the projects have not yet been launched because of some bureaucratic issues, often meaning the law. As a note, all mayors and all Gam Gebelis elected in the June-July 2014 local elections are from the Otsneva coalition. About the Lari, according to research by Galton Tagger operating in Georgia, which is this thing sort of connected with Bank of Georgia, the rapid drop in the Lari in the past month is really because of the appreciation of the dollar more than anything else, which strengthened against many world currencies. Second, they also note that the Lari started weakening as external financial outflows decreased significantly in the fourth quarter of 2014. There was a drop in exports 22% year-on-year, decreased remittances 18% year-on-year, particularly from Russia, and weaker tourism inflows causing a $338 million aggregate drop. Depending on the dynamics of tourism, FDI inflows, and imports, they expect the dollar-lari ratio to remain within the 2.10 to 2.30 range for the remainder of the year. Big difference between 2.10 and 2.30, though. Following up on last week's story, Tbilisi City Court released on bail a man accused of attacking a photojournalist from Interpress News at a rally. The suspect is around 21 years old and was released on a 3,000 lari bail pending the first hearing on his trial on the 20th of April. According to the video footage, the attacker's father held a journalist while his son hit him. The father is a board member of the group Free Georgia and one of the parties that organized the demonstration. He said his son was angry about being photographed. The alleged attacker is on trial for interfering with a journalist's work, which is punishable by up to 2 years in jail. He's also charged with damaging a person's property. So the attacker is associated with Free Georgia, which is associated with the United National Movement, which means that the bail was 3,000 lari, as opposed to what it would have been if it was a different affiliated entity. Following up on previous week's stories, the finance ministry has instructed state agencies under its direct subordination to present spending cut schemes by the 16th of March. The agencies have been instructed to reduce spending on renovation works for their offices to an unspecified minimum level to limit the purchases of new vehicles and cutting fuel expenses by 30%. This part not applying to law enforcement agencies, although it should, so that the cops can start walking around rather than driving around with those big squawking machines that they will say in Georgia, like, hey, buddy, get going, move your car, which is always annoying. To decrease by 20% the expenses of officials to reduce to a minimum level the number of work trips. The list also includes instructions not to purchase upholstered furniture. Finance Minister Khadouri said that once they have all the precise figures on the planned spending cuts, it will be possible to launch work on revising the year's budget if that needs to happen. Okay, is there so much office refurbishment that it's going to substantially alter the national budget? That's weird. The Deputy Foreign Minister of Georgia, Moldova, and Ukraine met in Tbilisi on the 10th and 11th of March to elaborate a joint position on their European integration process. Keeping in mind the upcoming Eastern Partnership Summit in Riga in May, as a reminder, when visiting Brussels in February, Prime Minister Kharabashvili said that Tbilisi is committed to fulfill the requirements under the Visa Liberalization Action Plan with the EU and expects the European Commission to recommend a visa waiver by the time of the Riga summit. We'll see. EU foreign ministers had an information meeting in Riga on the 7th of March. The Latvian foreign minister said that there is broad agreement that the Riga summit has to reaffirm the EU's political commitment to its eastern neighborhood and that we have to work on a package of assistance for all three countries that signed the association agreement with the EU. It should help them implement the deep and comprehensive free trade agreement. The Czech parliament postponed the ratification of the Georgian Association Agreement with the EU until the 1st of April, allegedly because of a dispute between Czech company EnergoPro with Georgia's energy ministry. Reportedly, the Georgian government demanded special taxes from EnergyPro, amounting to some $60 million, which EnergyPro did not pay. EnergyPro began operations in Georgia in 2007 and is the largest electricity distribution company in Georgia via EnergoPro Georgia. No idea who's behind EnergyPro. I've heard they're Russian. If anybody knows that, let us know. OSCE Secretary General Lamberto Zanye visited Georgia on the 8th to 10th of March. He met with President Margvelashvili, Prime Minister Kharabashvili, Foreign Minister Tomiriko Berdichevili, and members of Parliament, and visited the ABL and IDP settlements. He said the OSCE is looking for ways to restore its observer mission in Abkhazia and South Ossetia. After the 2008 Russia events, Russia did not renew its mandate to stay in the regions. Georgia and Brazil established a visa-free travel regime on the 11th of March. The agreement will go into force 30 days after signing and will allow Georgian citizens to stay in Brazil for tourism and business purposes without a visa for 90 days in any 180-day period. The same will be for Brazilians coming to Georgia. U.S. citizens, I might add, need visas to get to Brazil. On the 11th of March, the University Tower in Batumi was sold at auction for $25.4 million. There's only one bid by the company Batumi Tower Limited. Lucky they bought that, or what would Batumi Tower Limited spend its time on? The company was registered in November 2014 and is 100% owned by Selwood Investment Limited, a company registered somewhere in Central America. In keeping with beneficial ownership in Georgia being like not really anybody having any idea. As a recap, the tower was built by somebody under Mises' initiative, and then the government tried to have it be a location for this technical university that they wanted to have, although it is really not designed for that in any way, and it's some sort of gaudy high-rise by the coast, but it's never really been occupied. It wasn't completely finished. I mean, it's finished on the outside and on the inside. About 40 million lari was spent on its construction, which began in 2011. After the change in government, the new government decided to sell the building. According to the economy minister, it will be used for a hotel, and a further $18 million will be invested. Georgia online media outlet NetGazeti.ge was awarded the 2015 Frit Ord Foundation Prize and the Zate Foundation Prize, Press Prize for coverage of the Ukraine crisis. These are Norwegian and German organizations that aim to promote freedom of expression and public debate. NetGazeti was nominated by the German Embassy in Tbilisi and by the Heinrich Böll Foundation's office in the South Caucasus. They will receive 15,000 euros each. They were also praised for their impartial reporting on rights violations against Georgian Muslims, violence against women, and homophobia. Georgia's Minister of Environment and Natural Resource Protection, Elguja Khokhrishvili, has been appointed the regional representative for Central and Eastern Europe and the vice president of the United Nations Environment Assembly. Two Georgian military cadets studying at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy in New London, Connecticut, died in a car accident while on an icy road in New Jersey on the 8th of March. After the accident, many of the American and international cadets who studied with them changed their Facebook profile pictures to the Georgian flag. On the 6th of March, three female prisoners with life sentences had their sentences converted to a fixed term of 20 years, according to the President's Pardon Commission. They are serving time for violating Sections 260 and 262 of the Criminal Code about illegal possession and sale of drugs and carrying illegal items across the Georgian border. The President also pardoned another 188 prisoners. 130 of them left jail the same day, while 58 had their sentences reduced. 100 Georgian soldiers departed for Afghanistan to take part in the NATO-led Resolute Support Mission. The Georgian battalion will serve 6 months in Kabul in accordance with a decree the Parliament adopted December 2014. In total, Georgia will contribute 750 soldiers to Resolute Support. Japan's giving a non-project grant worth about $4.2 million to Georgia to purchase electric buses to modernize Tbilisi's public transport system. The Tbilisi City Hall plans to purchase eco-friendly hybrid buses as well as two small electric cars to promote and raise awareness of green transportation. The EU launched a 36-month project to support Georgia in vocational educational training reform. The EU is giving a total of 2.7 million euro to the project. The project will provide the Ministry of Education and Ministry of Health technical assistance and skills development in managing and monitoring policies and human resource management. Well, 2.7 million euros, that's quite a bit of monitoring and technical assistance. Swiss Georgian company Blaunstein Georgia opened a meat producing facility in Racha. The company already owned cattle farms in the region. The meat would be sold in the local market. The idea is to support the cattle breeding industry in Georgia. Tbilisi City Hall planted 300 almond trees in the Dendrite Park near Tbilisi City on the 8th of March. According to City Hall's Ecology and Greenery Department, 50,000 trees will be planted in the surrounding territory this spring. Last week, Gori-based youth movement Droa released a campaign, Time to Obey the Rules of the Road, to raise awareness that by law, drivers are obliged to slow down and stop if a pedestrian is trying to cross a zebra crosswalk. They handed out leaflets with excerpts of the law and had a costumed zebra man helping people across. Gabriadze Theater will participate in the Lincoln Center Festival in New York this summer. It is the only entry in the puppetry category. The troupe will perform the piece Ramona, which tells the tragic tale of two trains in love. So, everyone in New York, get ready to check that out. Installation of the anti-hail net system has begun in Cajeti on Chotora Mountain. It's designed to reduce 95% of hail damage to crops. There are 83 points where the nets will be installed. The anti-hail system works by launching not nets, but an unguided 60-millimeter rocket with the capacity to carry 50 to 70 grams of silver iodide reagent. I don't really know what that is, but it sounds a little creepy, but okay. When the rocket reaches the appropriate height, the silver iodine reagent is dispersed at an altitude of 2.5 to 4.5 kilometers above ground for 30 to 35 seconds. And it gets rid of the hail. And that's just weird. The finance ministry said that it will slash 1 billion lari in tax debt from more than 20,000 taxpayers. They said the goal is to support the business sector. This week, cameras in Borjomi Kharagouli National Park captured a rare glimpse of a lynx, which is an endangered species. Camera traps were installed in the park 2 months ago under a project mainly of the Caucasus Nature Fund. Parliamentary news following up on last week's story, President Mark Velashvili has convened a special session of Parliament to be held on the 13th of March to discuss measures for stabilizing the lari. The decision comes after the parliamentary opposition party Free Democrats and UNM again asked Mark Velashvili to convene the session. Government members are expected to be asked to show up, especially the economy minister, the finance minister, the president of the National Bank, but it is not known yet if they will attend. Georgian Dream parliamentary majority is against holding the extraordinary parliamentary session. Instead, they've summoned the ministers of economy and finance to hearings of the Parliamentary Committee on Economy, also tentatively for the 13th of March, saying it is a more appropriate venue for the discussions. Finance Minister Nodar Khaduri commented that, quote, if we come out and participate in this show, it doesn't mean that the exchange rate will stabilize, end quote. As a note, a group of Georgian Dream lawmakers and the president were planning a meeting on the 10th of March for a different issue, but the meeting was canceled after the president's decision to convene a special session of parliament. Tbilisi City Council presented a bill to Parliament on the 9th of March regulating noise level. If approved, the law will come into effect in October 2015. According to the proposed law, people responsible for excessive noise over 40 decibels during the day and 30 decibels at night will be punished If these noise levels are exceeded between 7 a.m. and 9 p.m., an individual could be fined 150 lari and businesses even more. If it's between 9 p.m. and 7 a.m., the fines go up to 300 lari for people and 1,000 for legal entities. The patrol police will be responsible for enforcing the law and will issue infringement fines if the noise levels are exceeded. Fireworks will be exempt from the new regulations, unfortunately. There's worries that this will damage the bar scene. I wonder if the patrol police will give other patrol cops who are on those squawkers screaming their heads off at people tickets. That would be nice. The meme this week is a photo that was being shared and criticized on Facebook of a poster in Tbilisi that shows a St. George's orange and black ribbon with a Second World War-looking soldier and a text in Russian that reads, "I remember, I'm proud." On the bottom is Geocell's banner. Many Facebook users were angry with the poster and with Geocell. They released an apology. It was part of a project that's funded with Georgian startup D-Hubs, where people can put up a message or image projected on a billboard for 20 seconds. This one was just one of the user's images. Michael Cicide argues in foreign policy that it's time for the West to stop taking Georgia's loyalty for granted. He said that the lack of results from the West has translated in recent years to more pro-Russian, pro-Orthodox, pro-Eurasian sentiment in the country, and this will likely be more apparent in the 2016 elections. Very important piece from Gavin Slade et al. For Open Society Foundation on Georgia's disastrous attempts to bring prisons up to European standards. Effectively, by destroying the Soviet prison system, they created a highly violent prison system. There's a full report at the bottom of the page. Take a look. Inga Popovitye reports on the plight of Mskheti and Turks in Javakheti region receiving residency permits to live in Georgia. Many have been rejected as threats to state security, basically because they have Azerbaijani passports, which is stupid. They should be given passports, and that Georgia has signed agreements that they need to be, no matter what other second citizenship they have. An argument from TI, the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, TI Georgia, that nepotism in the civil service should be criminalized. Onik Krikorian's reporting and photos from the 8th of March International Women's Day rally in Tbilisi. The CRC blog this week looks at attitudes of young people in Georgia. While most seem to be pro-Western and often claim to share the same values as their peers in the West, when it comes to acceptance of specific opinions and attitudes divergent from their own, Georgian youth are not always so open and tolerant. BBC's news from elsewhere has the story of one Kakheti town councillor giving taxi rides because he's down with the struggle, man of the people. Watch an advertisement by the Ministry of Environment encouraging people not to litter. It features Georgian alpinist Bidzina Gujabidze, and the text reminds people of the fines for littering. A Georgian journal looks into why it is that only one company participates in bids announced by the state and how it affects corruption and public trust. All this stuff to read posted on the forum. This week's geocapital number is $1.27 billion. This is the amount of foreign direct investment in Georgia in dollars in 2014, according to Geostat. It is a 39% increase from the previous year, 2013. Top countries that invested in Georgia in 2014 were the Netherlands with $331 million, meaning the Netherlands registered shell companies by the Netherlands law firms in Amsterdam. Azerbaijan with $302 million, China with $195 million, and the UK with $114 million. Every day until the 18th of March, Amidani Cinema will be playing American Sniper at 4:45 p.m. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email address is tbeelpod@gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website, www.tbeelpod.com. And we'll finish with, from last year, 2014, this is One Track Mind by Spanish Gold. Just dust and sand. Stop it, turn on, figure it out.
just slipped right through my hands.